and welcome to today's edition of the Columbus Area Labor Management Committee podcast. My name is Jim Coles, and I'm the Executive Director of Columbus Area Labor Management Committee. Also joining me today is Meredith Porterfield, our Program Manager. Today we're going to continue our look at the life and work of Eugene Brundage. During his career, Gene served as a labor leader, a manager, and a neutral as he served as an arbitrator and as a mediator. In the 1980s, Gene was president of the Ohio Education Association during a time when collective bargaining for public employees became legal in the state of Ohio. Gene played an important role in the creation of Ohio's first public sector collective bargaining law, which replaced the Ferguson Act and made bargaining legal for all public employees in the state. Let's listen as Gene talks about the Ferguson Act and its replacement with Ohio's collective bargaining law.
Now let's step back a minute and look at the history of what was going on in Ohio at that time under the law. The Ferguson Act was the governing law of the day. It basically said it was illegal for employees to strike, but if you struck, there were draconian penalties attached. You could be fired. You could have your pay fined 2 days for every day you were out. If in the evidence of the school board they wanted to hire you back, it could be at the beginning salary. And so these battles were waged everywhere against other competing laws, but the Ferguson Act was still the law of the land. The time had come for bargaining. It's happening in other states, and employees were not to be dissuaded. And in spite of the Ferguson Act, there were 35 to 50 work stoppages per year. I kept this picture across the years because it was kind of indicative to me. This was over in Western Ohio. I think probably Bill Martin took it. I don't know where it worked for him. But this would normally happen in one of these strikes. Is that the board would first declare there was a strike, then go into court to get an injunction to put people back to work. If you didn't go back to work, you got put in jail. More attorneys made money at the OEA those days to be excused from the meeting so they could continue a discussion without officers of the court present. And so this couple, this lady had a particularly rough time. I kind of researched her situation. She was deciding what she was going to do about that, but in the human element of what was happening, that's her husband in the cowboy hat who came in, put his arm around her, and took her home. Always stuck with me, and that we forget it today in our politics and everything else, that the hard debate, discussion, discord, there are human beings involved, and we need what's happening to people who's going through.
In the last segment, we heard Gene talk about some public sector collective bargaining history in the state of Ohio. In this next segment, he continues that history by telling about the difficulty of passing state legislation that would have a positive impact on public sector unions in Ohio.
In 1973, Governor Gilligan made a first attempt to get a bargaining bill passed. It didn't go any place. In 1975, the Supreme Court decided Dayton Classroom Teachers versus Dayton Board of Education, which repealed the 1947 Hagerman versus Dayton Act. Hagerman had said that it was not only illegal, but boards were denied the ability to bargain with their employees or enter into agreement if they wanted to. And Dayton repealed that. Like, you can bargain, you don't have to. But if you do, then that's a contract that's binding as any other. Gave it boards of learned agreements with their employees. In 1975, a bargaining bill was passed and was vetoed, and the veto was not overridden. In 1977, a second bargaining bill was passed and vetoed. I think there's probably somebody here today that had a hand in helping draft those veto messages, but he or she shall remain nameless. 1983, came onto the scene, and Senate Bill 133 passed 17-16 in the Senate and in a very close party line vote in the House.
With collective bargaining now legal for Ohio public employees, Gene went on to lead the Ohio Education Association as it became the largest representative for teachers in school districts in the state of Ohio. Shortly after that, Gene chose to leave the Ohio Education Association. Listen as he talks about the things that he did after leaving OEA.
I left OEA a few years later over a difference in management philosophy, and I served a stint with the NEA in Florida. I was doing union organizing. I got to tell you, somebody asked me what was my favorite job. I loved every job I ever had, except union organizing. I still didn't like it. You were spending your time knocking another union and finding most employees just didn't care. They didn't want to get involved. I'm sure politicians today might listen to the same kind of messages, but apparently they're listening to different people. I went on from there and returned to Ohio, and phase two of my career was under. I went to work for manager.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll be with us next time as we continue our look at the life and career of Gene Brundage as he talks about the work he did within a variety of state agencies working for the state of Ohio. See you next time.